The Business Buzz Podcast.
The Business Buzz with Mudiwa Mokshester Gabaza.
Good evening and welcome to the Business Buzz right here for your weekly dose of business, finance and economics news on VFM. That's 88.1 broadcasting live from our studios right here in Braamfontein, Johannesburg. Now, who's to say that the world of business can't be entertaining? Definitely make sure you hold on to your seats as we seek to keep you entertained, educated and intrigued about the world of business. My name is Mudiwa Mob Justice Gabaza and I'll be your host on today's show, and we are here until about 8 p.m. Now, for today, we are going to be talking, you know, a little bit around, investing for your future, more specifically investing for, you know, when you retire, you know, as a young professional or even as a student. You might be wondering why in the world you'd want to do something like that, but we're going to be talking about it. But before we get into all of that, there are some interesting things that have been happening, you know, through the week. And, you know, one of the big stories that has struck out to me is something that I personally was tracking over the last couple of days, and it's that Prosus. Prosus is basically the international arm of Naspers. Naspers, a lot of people will know, is the biggest company on the JSE, and the company is actually worth $1.5 trillion, making it the largest company on the JSE. But, you know, the last couple of days have actually shown just how big this company is, because basically they sold about 2% of Tencent. And a lot of people, if you've ever used WeChat, the instant messaging service, WeChat is made by a company called Tencent, and Naspers, based in Cape Town, is the biggest shareholder in Tencent. They invested about $32 million in this company back in 2004, but that relatively small investment has turned into something that is worth over $200 billion right now. And basically they sold down about 2% of that company just to raise some funds. And when you say 2%, most of the time if we hear that a company has sold off 2% of the equity stake in a company, you don't really bat an eyelid. But in the context of Naspers and Tencent, when they sell off 2%, 2% is equals to $16 billion, or 211 billion rand. That's how much money they got from selling that 2% stake. And it was just one of those stories that really, you know, got to, you know, got me, you know, just thinking. Of course, Naspers is a top 10 investor in the same way that we talk about Amazon, Facebook and Google. So we can expect such numbers, but definitely, you know, one of those things to just keep an eye on going forward. So for today, as I said, we are talking about what's going on in the world of investing for your future. And we're talking about, you know, pension funds and the like. Pension funds, retirement funds, and also at the same time, you know, some of the new legislation that has come around, you know, some of those things. So that's how the show is going to be looking like for today. We're going to be hearing, you know, for some people. First off, with a guest coming through from an advisor from Discovery, who's going to be telling us, you know, why you should be getting into all of this. And then we end off the second part of the show talking to, you know, our second guest just around, you know, how you can actually, you know, save yourself when it comes to retirement funds. Otherwise, for the rest of the hour, we're going to be getting into the business wrap with our expert, that's Ken Swettenham, just to give you a roundup of the week's top trending business and economics news. Remember that you can keep in touch with us on Facebook. We have our VFM or Voice of Wits. You can also find our other Facebook page, that is Wits Radio Academy. And then on Twitter, we are at VFM, and then our hashtag is #businessbuzz. You can also search for our great content on vids.journalism.co.za/business. Otherwise, you can find our great podcast on your podcast app of choice, whether Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or Google Podcasts. And you can, you know, get you know, some of the content that we have post and pre the show. So that's how the show is looking like. On the other side of this, we get into the business wrap. This is the Business Buzz.
You don't have to be a liker to like things.
Oh my God.
So like us on Facebook.
Like us on Facebook.
At VFM, in brackets, Voice of Biz. Business Rap with Ken Swetman.
It's time for us to get into the week's top trending business and economics news. And on the line, we're joined by a financial expert. We have Ken Swettenham. Ken, greetings to you.
Good evening. I trust you're well today.
No. We are on this Thursday evening. Anything interesting happening this week in the economy?
Well, there's two things that I've picked up which I think would be of interest to your listeners. The first one is the one which is made quite a few headlines in the media for all the wrong reasons, and that is a very steep increase in the fuel price, which is unfortunate at the time we are in South Africa, but we've now got a litre of fuel selling at over 17 rand, and I've seen jokes in social media saying, please don't call me to give you a lift, I can't afford it at the current fuel prices. But the sad news is, as we've discussed on numerous occasions on your show, is that that is going to reverberate right across the economy. We're going to see probably steep increases in things like taxi fares and public transport. We're going to see further increases in food and the goods and consumable goods, because most of it is transported by road. And food inflation is beginning to look very, very worrying on the upside. And this is going to have a reverberating effect, as I said, even if you don't own a motor car. So that's the bad news. The good news is the other story I picked up today, and it quite simply said Vodacom slashes its data prices. Now, just to remind your listeners, in 2019, the Competition Commission came out and said a very damning report, which said the cell phone industry in our country was charging far too much for its data prices. And Vodacom has led the way now by they did reduce prices last year. They've now reduced prices again. To give you an idea, their 1 gigabyte 30-day bundle will now sell for 85 rand, as opposed to 2 years ago when it was 149 rand. That's a 43% reduction in data prices. We're still very high by world standards, but it's good news, I think, for a lot of your listeners who buy these bundles for their data.
Now, that certainly has been, you know, a bigger story, and I think it will be interesting to see whether or not the other mobile operators actually respond to that, and if it's going to have, you know, a material effect on the actual, you know, data prices going forward.
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, MTN and Cell C did start reducing data prices last year, and I have no doubt that they will follow suit this year as well. So it's good news. We've got there always seems to be a bit of bad news when it comes to the fuel price, and as I said, that will affect your listeners right across the board. But the good news is, and a lot of people do buy these data bundles, not everybody is on a contract which includes data, and it's very good news if you or your listeners are somebody who's using this data. 43% reduction in price over 2 years. Mm. There's not many commodities which we can say that about.
No, certainly. And I guess on that front, do you anticipate, because of these things, because, you know, it's one thing, on the one hand, we started off talking about, you know, a fuel price increase, you know, fuel over 17 rand, but in the second instance, talking about, you know, the possibility of lower data prices, like you said, a more than 40% reduction, nothing else is happening, you know, like that. And one wonders, you know, on a net basis, you know, where consumers actually stand, you know, when it comes to some of these things, because these are all, you know, items that people are using on a daily basis.
Correct. You are right. And it all feeds into the CPI, or the Consumer Price Index, is what that stands for. And the Consumer Price Index is effectively just the rate of inflation in South Africa, which we are at really historical lows at the moment, with an annual inflation rate of around 3%. The Reserve Bank targets our inflation rate between 3 and 6% on an annual basis, and we're right at the bottom of that target range at the moment. But this must feed into higher inflation going forward. Higher inflation in the longer term will possibly mean interest rates going back up again. One can't say when, but later this year, perhaps, maybe next year. But we need to keep an eye on the inflation rate, and because higher inflation is not good for all of us. And although some prices may come down, the fuel price, in my opinion, is far more serious, because that will feed into many, many other things that they work out the CPI on. So, yeah, it's concerning going forward, and there's no doubt that it's harder and harder for the average South African family to put food on their table at a reasonable price. Yeah.
So that's been it for this business wrap. That was our financial expert, Ken Swettenham, giving us some insight into the week's top trending business and economics news, giving us some insight into what's been happening this week. He highlighted the fuel increase that's happened. You've got fuel, you know, up, you know, over 17 rand a litre, which, you know, hurts all motorists. But at the same time, you've got mobile data prices that are steadily coming down. And, you know, one hopes that the other mobile operators are going to respond as well. So that's been it. On the other side of this, we get into the Buffalo Index.
Business Wrap with Ken Swetman. The Buffalo Index on the Business Buzz.
It's time for us to get into the Buffalo Index. That's a part of the show where we give you a roundup of what your 100 Rand can do for you. And for today, since we spoke earlier on, Ken Swettenham mentioned the data prices. And actually, that's what I wanted to talk about for today, because we saw that the price of 1 gig of data on Vodacom has actually come down to 85 Rand per gig for a 30-day bundle on Vodacom, whereas in the past couple of months, I'd say since about April last year, it was sitting at an average of about 99 Rand. At least that's that was across Vodacom, MTN, Telkom, and the cheapest price was with Cell C, that is still sitting at 95 Rand. But this week they announced a 14% discount to that, and now they're going to be trading that at 85 Rand. And there's a lot of things that happen when it comes to data prices, but when it comes to your 100 Rand, it simply means that 2 years ago, right, with 100 Rand, you could buy, I guess, two-thirds of a gig, which is basically 670 megabytes or so for a 30-day bundle, whereas now you can actually get more than that. You could possibly get 100 and you could get 1.3 gigs just based on that, if we're looking at that. And then the second bit is to understand something called headline pricing, because basically when it comes to the cost of a day, of a gig of data or a megabyte of data, there's what's called headline pricing, and then there's what's called I guess the normal pricing, because headline prices are what doesn't change. If a gig of data is 85 Rand, then it's 85 Rand. If a mobile operator decides that they're going to give you double the data, right, yes, it reduces the per cost, the per megabyte cost of that data by half, right, but the headline prices remain the same. And this is what mobile operators have been doing for the last decade, where basically the headline price of 1 gig of data was an average of 149 Rand, but it wasn't changing, or, you know, it wasn't changing at all. But what they would do is to put on promotions, summer promotions, nighttime, you know, owl promotions and that type of thing. And that's how people would say that, you know, data prices are coming down, which is why the drop in prices, when you talk about what's going on with Vodacom, is such a big thing, because it means the headline price came down because of the Competition Commission, first from 149 Rand down to 99 Rand. And now we're talking about 85 Rand for a gig of data, 30 days. Now we wait to see where the other mobile operators are going to place themselves. Are they going to compete on the headline prices, or are they going to continue to compete on promotions? We wait and see. So that's been it. On the other side of this, we get into the main topic.
The Business Buzz.
We're talking about the importance of, you know, investing for that future, reinvesting, you know, 10, 20, 30 years into the future as people plan for what they're going to do when they stop working, what's happening there, and maybe also some of the changes that are happening when it comes to, you know, the legislation around that in South Africa. And in the first part of the show, we're going to be talking to Ompimense Masilo, who is an accredited financial advisor at Discovery's head office in Sandton, Johannesburg. And we're going to be, you know, trying to understand, you know, some of the things around, you know, at what stage a person in a person's career, you know, should they start investing, you know, in retirement planning? Is it the beginning? Is it 10 years on? All of those things, and why. So on the line, as I said, we have Ompimense. How are you today?
Hi, I'm well, thanks. And yourself?
No. Thank you so much for availing yourself. Thank you for joining us. And, you know, hoping that our listeners will learn a great deal from this session. As you heard just now, the debate is when exactly is the right time to start, you know, planning for, you know, retirement. Because for a lot of young adults, it seems like it's something that's really far away, unless you're one of those people that's part of the FIRE movement and you want to retire by 35 or something.
Yeah, I'm so glad you asked that question. Well, with regards to actually investing within a retirement annuity, you need to do it as soon as possible as you start working and so on. The reason being, the earlier that you start investing, you would be contributing less, okay? And postponing it to a later stage, for argument's sake, within 5 years, it means that you would need to contribute a higher amount after that 5 years in order for you to catch up. And also, furthermore, why it's so important is that over those 5 years, you would have actually lost out on benefiting from the monthly compound interest. And also, there's something that we call a tax benefit that is attached to retirement annuities. So on a yearly basis, you can contribute up to a max of 27.5% of your taxable income, given that the max would be 3,050K. And what that means is that your tax liability on an annual basis would actually be reduced. So you wanted to actually take advantage of that.
You know, whilst you're talking, you just mentioned the issue of tax, right? And
yeah.
Someone might actually be wondering to say, why are those tax implications important, especially when it comes to that retirement planning, simply
yeah.
because, you know, people expect that, you know how it is, young people, you're getting into the workforce, and
mm-hmm.
it's the first time that you're being taxed, and you think that that's where the tax ends.
Yeah. Okay, so when I do refer to tax being actually an advantage when it does come to a retirement annuity, like I said, it becomes a tax deductible, right? So it decreases the actual amount of tax that you would contribute on an annual basis, right? Given the tax bracket that you're on, and there's a whole calculation that you would do to see, okay, this is how much that Linda would be saving on taxes on an annual basis. And then just lastly, if I can, just repeat the question again. Sorry, I think I got off track there.
No, I was just asking if you could explain, you know, those tax benefits, because sometimes...
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Okay, perfect. So that's just what I've just explained, okay? And just one important thing from a tax perspective, why it's also good to invest within a retirement annuity. As you know, how it's structured within SA, you can only withdraw your retirement annuity at a retirement age, which is either 65 or 60, okay? And basically, one-third of it you can withdraw as a lump sum. However, two-thirds of it need to be reinvested as a living annuity. Now, of that one-third, 500K of it is tax-free. So that is why it's also just beneficial to do that. Looking at also, if you do that in correlation with actually having a tax free savings account which accumulates a certain interest and so on, it actually helps you to supplement your income in retirement. So those are the tax benefits that you could look at when it comes to retirement annuities.
Now, one of the things that is, very hard to avoid about this place that we're in as a society is COVID-19, the pandemic, and then the subsequent lockdowns and the economic devastation that's been caused by them. And we always talk about the effect or impact of the pandemic on various
yeah.
industries and all of that. What have you seen as being, I guess, some of the impacts when it comes to retirement savings or the way that people are planning their retirements? Has there been an impact on, you know, that
yeah.
on pension funds during this time?
Yeah. So the basic impact that the pandemic has obviously had on retirement annuities is actually that funds fund performance has been affected, right? And some funds have actually performed poorly due to the whole pandemic and the economic, global economic climate, okay? And just one thing that people should remember is that a retirement annuity is actually a long-term investment, right? So the hope is that you're actually investing for 20 years plus. So let's look, if you just started working and you invested in a retirement annuity, then the global pandemic hit and you are anxious that you would have lost money, etc. Yes, that might be true. However, because you're investing in the long term, there is that opportunity for that money to recruit, right? And just as best practice, for example, how a person that has just started and a person that is about to retire, how they would have experienced those losses would be different. Because best practice, in the beginning, you want to make sure that you invest that individual in a little bit more aggressive portfolio, as they still have a 20-year span or so for them to actually experience losses and for them to actually regain, right? And then once someone is towards the end of their retirement, you make sure that you switch them out of funds and invest their money in more conservative funds, which are less aggressive. So the effects or losses of COVID-19 for that person would have been a little less severe.
And then when it comes to all of that, one of the things that's quite clear from everything that you're saying is that there's a lot of terminology, there's a lot of jargon, yeah. There's a lot of details and a lot of numbers that I'm sure people can become a bit overwhelmed by. What's your advice when it comes to, young people or I guess people in general just looking for the right retirement plan for themselves?
Yeah, that's a very good question. My advice for you is, first thing first, get a financial planner, sit down with them. We offer initial free consultations. There is no money attached to it. Whether you do decide to actually take up a product with us, which is what we'd actually want. But the main important thing, the reason why we're all in this industry is because we understand the importance of actually giving people that financial knowledge that they do require, you know. For example, with me, where I do come from and my background, the lack of financial literacy and financial planning has led to me seeing people around me when they do retire, they saved a little bit, like 20,000 or so, that can only sustain you for a little while. However, had those people been exposed to financial literacy and planning, they would know how to actually sustain themselves. So my advice is, immediately when you start working, get in touch with a financial advisor, sit down with them, let them know what your goals are, and we would be able to actually assist you and create a plan for you, from short-term to medium-term to long-term. And that's what an advisor is, right? We walk with you for, in different stages of your life. So it's not a short-term solution.
Now, a discussion around this, given what's happening right now, would not be complete without us at least touching on what's going on with Regulation 28 of the Pension Fund Act. What does that actually entail?
Okay. So literally when we look at Regulation 28, it's just compliance structure, right, where the Act ensures that your retirement savings are not exposed to too much risk, right, and also just ensuring that your hard-earned savings are invested in sensible portfolios and protected from poorly diversified portfolios. So that's just basically what Regulation 28 is, ensuring that the client's money is protected by ensuring that there are certain caps on which assets that you would invest in. For example, as you know, as you might know, retirement annuities are invested in different types of asset classes such as equities, property, bonds, and foreign assets, etc. And there are limits in all of those. Okay.
No, that certainly makes sense. And I think one of the things that people might then be interested in is there seems to be, you know, all of this talk around the 45% of pensions that may soon be invested into South African infrastructure under the proposal. So when it comes to all of that stuff and looking at where the economy in South Africa is,
yeah,
debts, etc., you know, does it make sense? You know, as you said, there, it's a big pool of funds, but, you know, is it really how we should be spending money that people are saving, you know, for the future?
Yeah, so I think maybe when it comes to that conversation, it is certainly important to understand the definition around what actually investing in infrastructure means, okay? So, for example, with infrastructure funds, what it entails is actually investing in public assets and services that people rely on to live, work, or travel. So examples can be investing in electricity or water and sewage services. So that's what infrastructure investment actually means. And just to clarify, the Act or the amendment does not say that 45% of funds need to be invested in infrastructure. Asset managers, it's still to their discretion whether they choose to invest within infrastructure funds or not. So the 45% is just a guideline of the actual maximum percentage that an asset manager can invest in infrastructure. And you did ask me if it does make business sense. Like I said, the purpose of the amendment is to make it easier for retirement annuities to actually invest in infrastructure, right? It does not necessarily say that you have to invest in it. Sorry, I'm just repeating myself. So it does not say that if you are investing in infrastructure, that there is a loss to it. And then I'll explain it just now. And also the other important thing to note is that retirement annuities in SA have been investing in infrastructure funds. However, there hasn't been a real visibility of that, and hence the amendment to make it easier for retirement annuities to invest in infrastructure funds. Why do I think it makes business sense? And this is my economist side coming out. I believe that, you know, investing in infrastructure funds is actually viable, as it would generate financial returns as well as good social returns in the form of stimulating economic growth and so on. For example, I'm going to make a very personal example. I come from a town, Rustenburg. I don't know if you know of the Royal Bafokeng tribe in Rustenburg.
Yes, I do.
Yeah. So I come from the Royal Bafokeng tribe, and we do have a few royalties for platinum mines, etc., which is on our land. And for example, we do have a Royal Bafokeng holding company where employees, etc., their investments, retirement savings are actually put into infrastructure funds, right? And that, what does that entail? It ensures that the benefits directly impact the employees and the people living around that community. It improves roads within the actual community, and also just the ability to build schools, etc. So it's not just from a monetary point of view of why investing in infrastructure would be good, but it's also from a social and economic point of view. Yeah. I don't know if there's something I haven't touched on.
No. That certainly works for us. And thank you so much for sharing your insights into that. That was us with Ompimetse Masilo, who is an accredited financial advisor at Discoveries here in Johannesburg, giving us some insight into what's going on with retirement funds, telling us that there is no sooner time to start planning and start investing in that apart from now. Also talking about the effects of the pandemic on retirement funds and some of the changes that are being proposed as part of Regulation 28 of the Pension Fund Act, and how investments into infrastructure and things like that may impact the country going forward, and whether or not this would be a good use of retirement funds. So that's been it on the other side of this. We continue with our conversation. This is the Business Buzz.
COVID Biz Watch on the Business Buzz.
It's time for us to get into the COVID Business Watch. That's where we look at the impact of COVID-19 on various businesses in and around South Africa. And for today, we are joined by Katleho Don, just to talk about from 935, The Journey, a fast food restaurant based in Orlando East. Katleho, greetings to you.
How are you, sir?
No, doing all right. I think a good place for us to start is maybe understanding the business itself. Can you tell us briefly about it?
Well, 925 is a fast food restaurant. So I think we sell one of the best burgers in Soweto, if you will. So we sell burgers, we sell wings, we sell nachos, chicken strips. Yeah, so we're trying to bring a different feel into sewage and fast food industry that's in the township.
Okay, cool. That actually sounds like quite a vibe, and especially because when you say you guys sell the best burger in Soweto, I'd definitely be keen to try on that. But the other one, because we looking at the impact of COVID-19 on businesses around South Africa, for yourself, you know, what has that period been, and what have been some of the lessons?
Well, I think one of the lessons have been, well, the pandemic has forced us to think outside of the box, so we have to adapt to, I think since we opened for, after level 5, we've been under pressure to, survive and make ends meet in terms of paying rent, paying people that are waiting there, and the usual expenses of running a business. So sometimes your actual business does not produce the money that you need. So you learn how to find ways, different ways of making money. And what else? I think also, in terms of managing money and that saving money, the actual needs. Because had we saved enough, had we maybe went into the business with maybe better cash flow, some of the problems, or maybe half of the problems we would have had, or maybe the pandemic wouldn't have hit us as much as it has.
Okay, cool. And I guess, on a last point for us is just then maybe understanding how you think the business is actually going to perform in the future, because you've got all of the things that you're doing, and you've got the lessons that you've learned, and all the things that you said you've learned and wished you could have also done a little bit differently. So going forward, how do you see the business performing?
Well, I think emotionally I would say it's going to be great, but in reality, especially with the third wave maybe coming, chances are it's going to be even harder to operate. But I guess as long as we're breathing, I guess we'll keep on keeping up.
No, you certainly will keep on keeping on, and would also, like I keep saying, would be keen to go ahead and taste that burger. So that was us with Katlego Don, who is from 935 The Journey, a fast food restaurant based in Orlando East, giving us some lessons around the impact of COVID-19 on their business. On the other side of this, we continue with the show.
More justice on the Business Buzz.
We continue with our show just around retirement savings, retirement planning, retirement funding. You know, is it necessary? What's happening with the new Pension Fund Act? Thank you so much. We were talking to our own Pimenta from Discovery earlier before the break. But right now we want to talk to Johan Pins, who is also known as JP. He is an independent consultant to the Umbra Pension and a Provident Umbrella Fund. Johan, greetings.
Greetings to you and the listeners.
Did I pronounce Umbra correctly, or is it Umbra?
You did. It's Umbra, so it's like an old football brand. And the surname is Pians, but like you mentioned, everyone knows me as JP.
Okay, cool. So from this moment forward, we shall address you as JP. So with all of that in mind then, the Pension Fund Act, we actually had a couple of thoughts, in our first segment, just around, what's happening on that end, some of the proposals, the 45%, all of that. Before we get into, the retirement planning itself, your thoughts on that act.
Are we now talking about Regulation 20 Act and the changes to, or the proposed changes that they are looking at Regulation 28?
Yes.
So, I think it's a good thing. I think there is scope for them to look at infrastructure. Infrastructure is obviously the point where, we get some good economic growth. We can add some job numbers to that. So in my view, the changes to Regulation 28 is good. I think there is some scope for them to look at offshore and possibly broadening that up or opening that up to members on the fund. So instead of having your 20% or 30% offshore, you can actually go a bit higher. We would like to see that, of course. I think that is a good thing to add to it. And then obviously what they are proposing in terms of infrastructure and having it classified separately is also good, for the economy.
Now, apart from Regulation 28, from where you're standing as someone who's looking at this stuff on a constant basis, what are some of the issues when it comes to retirement planning and retirement funds and pensions that you are seeing? Because there has been a spate of withdrawals of pension funds in some corners of the economy.
So yes, we have seen quite a number of withdrawals, retrenchments more than withdrawals, if you want to call it that at this stage. But we're also seeing a lot of members coming out of funds due to the fact of trying to access the lump sum monies in their funds. Obviously, as you contribute to a fund, it builds up a fund credit or a fund value, and that value is obviously payable to the member when they withdraw. So we've seen quite a substantial amount of members trying to access money. Obviously, we understand the conditions that they are under, people are under pressure. But that is the reason that we are seeing people mostly withdraw their money, is the fact that they need to get hold of a lump sum amount of money due to debt circumstances. Mostly debt at this stage, or servicing some form of a debt. So that's probably the biggest problem we're seeing at this moment. The FSCA earlier in the year, during COVID, at least brought out some communication in terms of having a risk benefit in place. So a pension fund also provides another section called risk benefit. So it usually has some form of a group life assurance, death benefit that pays, or income disability, or funeral benefit, for example. So at least the FSCA came out and said, let's try and keep the risk in place so that when members do get ill or sick during this COVID period, they were covered. So at least we saw most employers handle that quite well. The only problem we did see, obviously, is members that are actually cash-strapped and need some money out of the fund. Therefore, they actually resign from the fund. It's the only way they can get hold of their money. We get it quite a lot that we get the members asking us, how do I get hold of money? The only way is through resignation. There's tax implications there. So we would really tell someone to, you know, speak to a financial advisor before they do that. They cannot just borrow money against the fund. That is the biggest question really. Can I borrow 10,000 of my fund credit? The answer is no.
Now, you've just highlighted, you know, an issue that people are having, that they want to get access to these lump sums, and the implication is that most of the time it means you're sort of closing out your accounts and, you know, all of that stuff. So for people that do find themselves in those situations, or people that are looking at alternatives, are there alternatives that people could put into place to, I guess, appropriately prepare for the future?
Yes, of course there is. So I think it all starts off with the basics. You know, we're quite vocal about to put your plan in place, your investment plan in place. Any person out there starting the world, I wish they told me when I left university about these type of things, but put a plan in place, make sure that you follow that plan, and your plan needs to be a short-term plan as well as a long-term plan. A pension fund will generally handle your long-term or give you a part of your long-term wealth of your book. But you also need to make sure that you cover your short-term. And this is the biggest problem that you see in South Africa. I mean, South Africa is known not to be a savings country. You know, we don't save money. We spend it. We're more of a spender. Only like 6% of people retire comfortably. And the problem is they access money because they need it. So the question that we have is that people need to holistically look at their financials and their wealth, and then not only say, well, I just need a pension fund or I just need this. Let me start with an emergency fund. That is probably the best place to start. Start putting money away for emergencies. And once the norm that the guys are talking about in the industry is a 3 to 6 months worth of salary. So when you get out in the job market, make sure you've got at least 3 to 6 months worth of salary backed up. That means that if you do get into a tight situation, you don't actually need to go to your pension fund to access monies. You can take that knock, or you have the cash flow to actually help you out by putting an emergency fund in place, and then work from there. So first step, emergency fund. If you are lucky enough to be employed and you have a pension fund or an old provident fund, now very similar to a pension fund, then, you know, at least someone is taking care of your long-term at this stage. Focus on your short-term and get the emergency fund in place in the short-term.
One of the things that you've just said, I like the fact that you bring up sort of that tension in our economic makeup in South Africa, to say that the country is not hasn't really had a reputation for being a country of savers. But at the same time, as a result, I guess, you do have only 6% of people then becoming, you know, retiring comfortably. So the magical question, you know, for a lot of people, I guess this is, you know, somewhat of a crystal ball sort of question. How much is enough when it comes to actually contributing to retirement savings?
Okay, so even the 6% number is, in my view, is an old, outdated number. So when I started in the industry, probably around 2005, it was bandied about 6%. So I would venture to say that number is probably even a bit lower if we look at it right now. In terms of having enough, that is the magical question, I would think. There's a lot of things that influence this. The biggest thing is, how long are you, how long is your time horizon? What is the time that you're looking at, for that investment? So if it's a long-term investment, we're talking 8+ years, maybe 10 years. I would look at it even further to say 20, 30 years. That is something that I'm saving for retirement. So when I contribute towards that, I need to make sure that I contribute at least, the guys in the industry talk about 15% if you're contributing towards your retirement, at least 15%, which should sustain you or give you around about 75% of your retirement income at retirement age. So that means if I earn $10,000 at the day that I retire, I will now be earning $7,500 in the day that I'm not retired or the day that I am retired. So therefore, there's $2,500 is skimmed off. And the reason why this was used as a yardstick is the fact that we used to say people don't live with their parents anymore, you know. So as soon as they're done with university, the kids move out, they're going moving to their own place. So the parents will only have medical aid to look after, cars are paid, house is paid. Unfortunately, that is not the reality anymore that we live in. So more and more the guys are leaning towards 100%. You need to actually make sure that you have 100% of your income as at the day that you retire. In terms of that, 15% contribution will probably only get you about 60% to 65% all the way. And that is if you never touch the money, guys. If you touch the money, you are taxed, and you just carry on being taxed every time you withdraw the money. So if you leave the money for 40 years, then potentially you would have 60 to 70% of your wealth for your retirement. But I would encourage everyone to look further than just a pension or a provident fund. They need to make sure they build wealth in other ways. You know, educate yourself, learn, go and explore what the stock market is about. Go and explore what easy equities are about. Some of the guys just out there in the market, they provide people with opportunities to create their wealth. And then if you are unsure, speak to a registered financial advisor.
As we end off, JP, your thoughts just around how things could be changed, I guess, on a structural level, whether it's the thinking on the side of ordinary South Africans or whether it's the structure of how retirement savings and plans are done in South Africa. Where do you see that?
So I do think there is a need for us to look at how we can change things. I think the FSCA has done quite a lot. So the FSCA is the Financial Sector Conduct Authority that regulates our industry. I think they have done quite a bit in promoting financial excellence and education, et cetera, et cetera. But I think there is more that we can do for South Africans and make more options available. So, for example, something that I think would be highly or a high necessity for us to look at in the South African market context is to create an emergency fund for our members. So I think that's something that needs to form part of your retirement planning, is to make sure in the beginning we set up some form of a emergency saving for a member. So we need to think about creative ways that we can help members when they join an employer to create that environment that helps them save for short term, as well as then say to them, guys, don't worry, we have your back over the long term. And how else can we disseminate information and give you information that can make you create more wealth, create more assets, and then pass it on generationally, so generation after generation can inherit that wealth.
So that's been us with JP, who is an independent consultant to the Umbra Pension and Provident Fund, Provident Umbrella Fund, giving us some insight into some of the issues just around what's going on with the Pension Fund Act, that new regulation. Also ending off talking about some of the things that do need to be changed. And he's just saying that, you know, there needs to be a change in thinking. He's saying that the FSCA has done, you know, quite a bit of work to change things structurally, but at the same time he's saying people should go beyond just some of the retirement savings and plans that are out there. Go out and educate yourself about the stock market or alternative investments and see what active role you can take in retirement planning for yourself. So that's been it. On the other side of this, we come to the end of the show.
You're tuned in to the Business Buzz.
So that's been it. Thank you to everyone who has been listening to the show. Thank you so much to Ompi Metsa from Discovery. Thank you to JP for giving us their insights into what's going on in and around the world of pension funds, retirement savings, and you know what it means to plan for the future. I think two of the big points that came out from both of them is, firstly, people need to go out and educate themselves, seek financial advice, talk to a financial planner. But also at the same time talking about the fact that wherever possible, just leave that money wherever it is, because the moment you touch that money, it's going to have some type of tax implications on it, which reduces your compounding over the time, and at the same time you incur those costs. Very important discussion, and I think personally one of the things I agree the most with JP about is the fact that people really do need to take a more active role when it comes to their own retirement savings, simply because you know, the old world of retirement and pension funds, etc., it is a formula that doesn't seem to be working for a lot of generations. We've heard of and seen people extending their retirement age simply because of circumstance, whether we are talking the global financial crisis, whether we're talking inflation. A lot of factors are eroding people's retirement savings and their ability to live comfortably past the age of retirement. So I think a more active role needs to be taken by people. Otherwise, you can let us know what you think. Are you already saving for retirement? If so, who are you saving with? You know, what are some of the tips and tricks that you can share with us? On Facebook, we have our FM Voice of Wits. You can also find our other Facebook page that is the Wits Radio Academy, and then on Twitter we're at VowFM, and then our hashtag is #BusinessBuzz. Remember that you can find our great content on vits.journalism.co.za/business. Otherwise, you can go over to the main podcasting apps, that is Google Podcasts, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts. Just type in Business Buzz and you can find our previous shows, including this one, after the show is done. So that's been it. Thank you so much to our amazing team. Our technical producer is Kutlwano Serame, together with our executive producer, that is Gloria Mabuza. Our producers, Slindle Msiwi, together with Ntando Timba, as well as Sia Bonga Mota. Don't miss the Business Buzz, same time, same place next week for more insight into the world of business. Otherwise, don't turn that down. There's more great content coming up on the VowFM lineup. So from myself, Mudio Mob, Justice Kavaza, and the rest of the team, it is good evening and take care.
The Business Buzz with Mudio Mob, Justice Kavaza. The Business Buzz Podcast.